all your school rugby all in one place. This is Next Gen 50.
Hello and welcome back to the Next Gen 15 podcast. We are on once again with Sam Howard and we're looking ahead to a very special weekend. It's the St. Joseph's Festival and this is our St. Joseph's Festival preview. Very nice to have you along, Sam. Looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, great to be back. Like it was my favourite weekend of the year. Dulwich, a strong tradition of going there. And it's still going strong. The parents always come en masse, even old boys come and watch. It's a fantastic tournament. St. Joe's do a great job. Favourite weekend of the year and some cracking rugby always.
It certainly is, yeah. 16 teams all in that one corner of Suffolk. I've had parents getting in touch telling me, you know, what do you know any places we can go for a drink afterwards? Do you know any lunch spots and all the rest of it? I think it's as much fun for the parents as it is for all the staff and pupils, but it's an epic weekend. Absolutely love it. You can get in touch with us on at NextGen15, at NextGenXV. You can also listen to this on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, all sorts of other places. You might be able to watch it on YouTube. That'll give you something to do on your journey over to the southeast of England. And Sam, I think they can get you on at DYB Rugby, if I remember rightly.
That is correct.
There we go. See, we're all over it. I suppose we'll rewind a little bit and go back to the start of, well, not the start, but the first step. You took Dulwich to St. Joe's 2011, won the St. Joseph's Festival. We'll start there and we'll look out ahead to this year and a couple of things that have happened in the past for a bit of context as to what's coming. But tell me about that experience, getting to the top of the pile at St. Joe's. It's, I reckon, maybe the hardest thing there is in school rugby.
I think it is. I think it's probably my proudest moment or one of them at Dulwich. And the boys definitely see it as theirs because it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And for sort of those that don't know it, the kids are playing it the first time, it's sort of you've got 16 of the best teams in the country, including Wales, Merchiston, Scotland. And so there's, if you make a mistake, if you aren't quite on it, you're out. And so you've got all this great rugby going on. And when you're not playing, you're watching another great rugby match on the side. And it's fantastic. And you have to be on your best for all weekend. And it was a huge achievement winning that. Like we beat Filton in the final, who had an array of stars, were massive. Like we were just hanging on, basically, and it just showed the determination of our boys. It was very, very special time.
And hanging on is a bit of a theme at the festival, because by the end of day two, that's what a lot of teams are doing. It's an intense couple of days, and so you get to that final, and time and time again we see it where teams are literally just hanging on, and it's almost playing by. A bit like we saw in the World Cup quarterfinals, actually, the weekend, where you're sort of playing rather than to structure or with any sense of huge freedom by the time that final comes, you're literally just going, right, just dig in. We know what we're doing. We know how to play, but just trust everyone around you and just get it done.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And I suppose, so we, again, it's sort of been under the radar a little bit. And then that day one, and the great thing about the St. Joe's is you see so many friends. You'd like, so we'd always stay in the same hotel as Brighton, Millfield, Merchiston, us, and there was one other. And so obviously in the bar afterwards, you're having a few beers with the other members of staff, and it's great. And you're all talking about your day and how broken your team are. like that. And so you're up there on a Friday night, and then it's the Saturday, and so the Friday nights, you're always pretty just chilled out, getting ready for the Saturday. And then after Saturday, up until then, I don't think we'd ever made it through to the main comp. Like I think we won the plate the year before. So Saturday night, we were always up fairly late and sort of quite enjoying ourselves, like because we weren't in the, as in staff, not the boys. But like, and then that year, we'd gone unbeaten in the pool, had no injuries. So and like we were still unbeaten in the school season. So we're like confident now. So it got to whatever, like, it was the like Heineken Cup was always on. So we'd watched that, and then it was like, right, a few more beers. And I was like, right, time for bed. And like Boise and Nick Mallet and these guys, like, hold on, you never let us go to bed early. We're like competing. I was like, no, big day tomorrow. But you're right. So that first day is normally when the good rugby's played. And then you're assessing your injuries. But that at the end of day one, I was like, right, we've got no injuries, we're looking solid. But after a whole day's rugby, woke up Sunday morning, the physio comes up, who, fair play, the physios are the busiest people of that week.
Yeah, they've got their work cut out.
Bless them, they work hard. And he came up, he's like, right, Tom Fraser and Tom Rosier, my two centres, both out. And you're just like, what? For the day? Yeah, both gone. And it's like, where's this going? It's like, something's come up overnight. And you're suddenly like, so my two centres are suddenly, so we've just got like your backup, tiny little guys that fill in. But again, as you said, every game it was like, right, especially on the Sunday when it's reduced time, can we get a score? Can we back our defence, which we were happy with doing? And you get that confidence again, momentum builds, and you get a sort of siege mentality. Because as you know, apart from sort of Benno and Josh, we weren't massive, especially the back line. And you'd hear other teams going, how are they still in it? How are they still in it? How have they not lost? And it's like the boys, because you can hear everything that's been said.
Yeah, it's no hiding place or off the field.
No. And but yeah, it is a case of like, you'll know more than me, but I'd love to know how many absolute unbelievable finals there be. Because as you said, the boys are broken. Whereas some of the rugby you see on the Saturday, some of the early games on the Sunday are incredible. But as you said, very rarely have you got two fully fit squads going at it in the final. Who's got the least amount of injuries?
You get to the final, and it's always like a sort of it's really about the tension and the drama. The quality of the play reduces normally. But you do get these unbelievably tight games because obviously, you know, with the time limits on things as well, and light fading and all the rest of it, you do just get these games that feel like they're going to go down to the last second. I mean, I remember, God, break Nick Boy's heart bringing this one up again, but Brighton played Cranley in the final and it was a draw. And someone out there, fortunately, had done their research on what happens if it's a draw, and it was who scores first, and Cranley had scored first. Neither side knew. I think it took someone running onto the field at the end to explain it and all the rest of it. But I mean, that's the closest I remember. But they're all pretty close to that. I think I remember Millfield beating RGSI Wickham 7-5 or something like that. Like, they are so tight because it's not because of the time as well.
Yeah,
you can't score a lot of points.
No, and you know you have got, even if there are injuries, the two of the teams that are in the final, they're good sides, aren't they? You're not in the final at St. Joe's unless you're a good side. So we played Filton in the final, who was like then Bristol's Academy, and they had some great players. And I think I think Tommy got us a try. Tommy O'Flaherty got us a try early doors. And then, yeah, it was just a case of, right, just defend for your life, basically. Remember Chris Morgan from Tunbridge, when they used to go there, I think he just died there. And he still goes on, I've never seen a defensive effort like you guys against Filton, because they were massive, they were quick. And your little boys were just hanging on. It's tough, it's great format, and winning it, yeah, is you know you've got a good and special team if you go and win.
You certainly do, and kind of looking at how it's gone since that 2011 title, yeah, we've actually seen a real sort of scattergun of teams doing well there. You know, there was a time where you got these blocks of sides doing really well for a sort of 5-year period. You know, might get a couple of titles within that. Since then, it's been all over the place. We've had St. Joe's winning a title. We've had Brighton. We've had Cranley. We've had Hampton. We've had RGS Newcastle. We've had Wellington. And then we've had Millfield winning back-to-back, as well as winning one in 2014, I think it was. So they've now got 8 titles, more than anyone else, looking for to be the first team to do 3 in a row since Colston's 20-odd years ago. Yeah. But it just shows you, like, it's it is hard to win, and that's why so many teams do it, because it's hard. It's so hard to consistently reach that level time and time again.
Yeah. Well, the following year, like, we obviously went with a better team and went unbeaten throughout the year, and Millfield beat us in that second day. Basically, we played, like, you know, when it's almost a semi-final, whoever wins that game goes to the final. And we played Millfield, and it was a great game, but they almost did the opposite to us. They got a charge down kick, bless him, Andy Needham went for a little chip, charged it down, they scored, and then we had a siege on their line. And fair play to their boys, they just defended and defended. They went to win it. I think the following year we played St. Joe's when they won it, and again, it was like, I think we lost to them, but they'd lost to Fisher, but they went through on points difference. I think like back in the old format with two pools.
Oh, and that was the St. Joe's side with Lewis Ludlam and all of those guys, wasn't it?
And they went on to win it. So we lost to both Millfield when they won it. We lost to St. Joe's when they won. So we had a good little run. Like we didn't concede a try for three years in a row on the Saturday.
That's impressive. Which is some going.
But we only won it once. It just shows the quality that you've got to reach if you do want to win it. But I think that, and for me, that was the other beauty of it was, and it's changing slightly, but now you've got sort of Cheltenham and Blunderers, which is great, two more like Southwest teams. It used to be a lot sort of different teams that you were always playing, which was great, because you don't want to be like, it changed a little, like one year when Tunbridge were there, and Fisher, like Bedford, like, sort of seven of the teams that we play on our fixture list were at St. Joe's, which you don't really want that. You want to be playing. And again, now, as I said, Blundells, Cheltenham, it's great that you've got RGS, Newcastle, Queggs are still going, Kirkcombe are now there. So it's, again, it's gone back to being much more spread.
Yeah, they've made a real effort to geographically spread things as much as they can.
And that's great. That's really good. Like, sort of beam a bonnet, but now I'm not voting. I think it's harsh that John Fisher aren't there. I think it's a and I know that they want to be there.
Former champions as well, and always punched so high.
And again, one of those schools that sort of has not everyone, but it's great when you see tradition. So their traditional run on a Sunday morning, you probably never used to be there at that time. It was early. But they'd get like, they'd go on their run and they'd run around the whole sort of field really tight and sort of singing and chanting. And it was like, that was their thing. And they always brought something different to the table. John Fisher's like they're one of my favorite schools, what they achieve. So it's a shame that they're not there, but yeah, it's good to see like Strathallan. Is this their first time I've seen?
It's their second time. They came last year.
Good to have a Scottish team. That used to be Irish teams come over and play. Yeah. So it's, again, and that adds to the atmosphere, to the mix, all these different schools. And like, we never used to, because it's such a sort of a unique environment. I've done a little bit of research on what people are doing and how the season's going. But we never used to do that when we went in there. It was like, it is what it is. Let's just worry about us, because there's no, like, on the day, form goes out the window. It's 15 minutes each way. Anything can happen. There's no point spending or wasting time worrying about other people's results and looking at it. It's like,
well, that's the thing. You know, you can win a game early on, or you can lose a game early on, and suddenly the confidence just either goes up or down with it, and it can just change everything.
Yeah, like, you lose that first game, a bounce of the ball, one missed tackle, one bad referee mistake. Like, and suddenly you're up against it, and then you play Millfield next game, and you're like, oh, right.
Also, the thing that people forget is that if you're playing in the regular season, there's a game you might win 40-10. The 10 points you concede in that regular season game might well happen at the start of the game, and then you go on and dominate. But at St. Joe's, if you go 10-0 behind, you ain't coming back unless you are very special. It is so hard. You can have a freak defeat to someone just because time ran out on you.
And you do have to, again, it varies. Some teams may not, but I've been there a lot. Most of the teams that seem to do well and have been there time and time again, like, you have to play slightly differently. You can't, because it is like, it's, you go up, you go 10-0 up, and then it's like, right, the other opposition are under pressure now. Like, it's, right, come on, field position, back at D, don't give anything away, and make the opposition have to do something. which is why you see so many, I think, why you see so many incredible tries.
Yeah.
Because if you're down, then you've got to play.
Yeah, you've got to go and you've got to go from anywhere. Yeah.
So the amount of like length of pitch tries that you see that's probably the reason. Because if you're losing, it's like, we can't afford just to kick it off here. We've got to play. Yeah. So you're seeing tries being running from all over the place on both pitches and with noise. It's a different format, a different way of playing, most definitely. And again, the teams that go there regularly sort of understand what it takes to get through, especially that pool stage on day one.
Well, I think the other thing they also understand, and we touched on it there, is, you know, the noise and the atmosphere. For the hosts and Josephs, this is the biggest weekend of the year. And when they're playing, but even when they're not, the noise and the atmosphere and the sheer number of people on the touchlines is unbelievably intense. And particularly if you're playing against them, that's something you've got to factor in, is we are in a hostile environment here. We've got to deal with it.
Yeah, like we very rarely, I think we only played them the once. And as I said, it was almost that knockout sort of semi-final stage when they had a great team and they went on to win it. But apart from that, yeah, we very rarely played them. Like, to be fair, we were quite good back then, so they probably sort of avoided us. They're quite good at making a nice pool for themselves.
They've got a tricky one this year.
But we've got them this year. So as I said, we very rarely played them, but which was a good thing, but again, a bad thing, like as you said, because the environment of playing in that, the crowd, the whole of Ipswich seems to just turn up and then disappear for an hour and then they're all back again. And that's the day. By the end of the day, they've obviously had a few as well, so it gets louder and louder.
They schedule their games very nicely to make sure that everyone gets the maximum time to prepare themselves to be on the touchline.
You've got to make your own tournament as sort of friendly as you can for yourselves. No point making it too hard. It's hard enough as it is.
Exactly.
So those guys, like, and you know what as well? They bring out the drums and like there's loads of them, but they get it right. They very rarely are sort of negative towards the opposition. It's always about supporting their team rather than sort of booing or jeering if the opposition do something wrong. Obviously, at times, if it's really that someone mucks up, there's going to be some noise. They're not angels. but they get it right. And there's no hostility. And there are so many of them. And they're young. And they've probably had a few beers. So to get it so right is, again, a credit to St. Joe's and all of their supporters.
They take it very seriously, and they take their role in basically hosting the biggest 15-a-side tournament in school rugby unbelievably seriously. And they have lots of little touches that work really well. You know, all the ball boys are kids at the junior end of the school who are basically just getting to sample what it's like, and almost like, I know that in the past they've sort of made sure that they know who those ball boys are, because if they end up playing in it in 5 years' time, they get a shout out and all that sort of stuff. And they have a big chapel service, I think, on the Thursday, where they're, you know, shirts are presented and all the rest of it. Like, they make a very big deal out of it, and they make a very big deal out of making sure that they basically do it right, and as you say, don't get it wrong on the touchlines and all the rest of it. It's unbelievably impressive. But I'll tell you what, it's been 10 years since they stepped to the top of the podium. I think they'll be wanting to get back up there soon.
They will, but let's be honest, it's a very small school.
Yeah.
So in terms of, and we know it's not just about numbers, but it does help if you go, and they are really small. So to have done as well as they have, like that was like almost like their dream team, like Lewis Ludlam, and we talked about Warrington matchup. They had a lot of good players in that year.
Incredible team. They were
excellent. Like, we beat them in the semi-final of the Daily Mail, I think that first year actually. And they were excellent. They were absolutely brilliant. So it's always tough for a smaller school to really go deep into this tournament. And that's where that crowd of the 16 man almost comes in. But yeah, so to the fact that they've won it, the fact that they are often there or thereabouts, shows how much it cares and how teams can rise to the occasion as well. Sometimes the occasion can overwhelm as well.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what. Since we're talking about the hosts, should we dive in a little bit on their group to kick off?
Yeah.
It's group four, but we might as well start there because they're in with Dulwich, as we mentioned, with Millfield, with RGS Newcastle. Every single team in that group has won it at some point. Millfield, obviously, as we mentioned, 8 times. RGS Newcastle 2018, Dulwich 2011, and St Joe's 3 times, 95, 2010, and 2013. It's a tricky group, but St Joe's unbeaten this year. Haven't played hugely challenging teams, although they took on Woodhouse Grove and had a good result, and I think they had a tight victory over Henley College. So they'll probably be thinking this is our best group for a while that's going into this. Obviously, Millfield have been pretty sensational as well. Dulwich having an improved year. RGS Newcastle struggling a little bit, but we know that with a bit of rain predicted in the way that RGS Newcastle traditionally like to play, that you'd be mad to completely write them off. So that's a good group.
As I said, not surprisingly. But yeah, no, you're right. They, as you said, they're unbeaten. So that's they'll have confidence going in. Dulwich have had some decent wins last few weeks against Bedford and Fisher, but previous to that have sort of lost, I think, to Brighton and a couple of other Wellington. So it's not a vintage Dulwich team, but it's not they know how to play up there. And as I said, it's like after St Joe's, they
Well,
know
I
they
also think with
be
Dulwich,
proud.
the teams that Dulwich have missed out against, Harrow, Brighton, Wellington, Ipswich,
Pretty
they're four of the best
good.
teams in the country. So I think they probably go in slightly underrated because you look at a win-loss record and you make a sort of snap judgment. But actually, those are four really good teams, and playing good teams prepares you for this weekend really well because you know the level you need to be at and you know how you need to start. So I'll be interested
And
to
as I
see
said,
how
they've
they
had a
go.
couple of good. So yeah, so that as I said, RGS Newcastle haven't won this year, so you would have thought it'd probably be tough for them going out to that. And Millfield look, Millfield look like Millfield,
I mean,
and
the.
they know what to do there. The other thing about again, we sort of haven't talked about it much is sort of size of squad, and you know that Millfield will have 24 to 26 really good players. Dulwich may have sort of 15 to 17 and then a few okay players. So size of squad is massive in this, and especially now with the half game law. So that you just I don't know where, here we go. I'll do this then. I'll have a little prediction
Oh yeah,
because
go on.
so I reckon we're looking at that. I think Milford are top in that group. I think RGS Newcastle are coming bottom. So I think it all comes down to that Dulwich St Joe's game.
Yeah, I agree.
And when is that in the, do you know the schedule? When is that? Is it
That
first? Is it
is
last? Because if they've scheduled that last, that is going to be a monster crowd.
no, they've scheduled it the other way. So first game up in that group, 11 o'clock, St Joe's Dulwich.
Well, I think the winner of that goes through as second place.
But I'll tell you what they have done that I suspect could mean an absolutely raucous touchline. Last game of the day, St Joe's against RGS Newcastle, which if it goes
Yeah.
as we
Yeah.
expect, if they win that, they go through to the quarterfinals. So there's going
Yeah.
to be
I'm gonna put my, I can't not, I'm gonna have to put my black and blue hat on for that. And so I'm going Millfield, Dulwich, St Joe's, RGS Newcastle, so I can take the pelters from people that don't agree.
Well, do you know what? I think that'll be a hell of a game. I suspect. I mean, it's always difficult to judge these things, isn't it? But I suspect they're very evenly matched. St Joe's record is better, obviously, but Dulwich have played a much tougher fixture list, and that counts for a lot, I think. So I think that'll be a hell of a game. That'll be where it comes down to.
I think so.
It's a spicy group. I like it. I like it a lot. Let's jump right back to the top then, group one. Do the rest of it in some sort of chronological order. Hampton, Queggs Wakefield, Trinity, Whitchurch. I think this is probably the weakest of the groups, just in terms of form this season, in that I don't actually think anyone in this group has a winning record, although all of them play unbelievably difficult fixtures. So that's a reason for that.
Like, you know, obviously, Trinity have had not the season they would have been hoping for. Obviously, losing the captain and England player Lucas Friday to injury doesn't help. But I think their only wins have come against Langley Park and Ravenhill. But again, you look at the teams they've lost to, they've lost to some really good sides.
Yeah, they're playing on an unbelievably tough circuit.
Hampton, again, crazy strong circuit. Had quite a few losses, but they've beaten a Cranley side who are actually decent. Queggs, a bit of a mix. They've lost to Kirkham, but we know how good they are. Whitchurch, no idea, which is beautiful. But they turn up every year. You know they're going to have a couple of decent backs. They're going to have some strong runners, and they have the ability to beat any team on their day, but also lose to any team. So you never know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing a little bit of digging into Whitchurch this morning, and so playing in the top division in the Welsh sort of schools and colleges leagues. So what that tells us, and they've done all right, 1-1 loss too. I think they've got another game this afternoon. What that tells us, though, because we know what Welsh schools and colleges rugby is like, they're going to be absolutely equipped for the physical side of this weekend that's coming up. And so if they can get a couple of early results that go their way from a physical point of view, they're probably one of the most suited to the tests that are coming up. And they're probably looking at this group and going, we've not had many years where we've gone deep, but we've got a chance here.
It's not a scary group. No, it's not a group of death. And I think it's probably the hardest group to call, maybe. Any of them can can all beat each other, can't they?
Yeah. It could easily be a group where everyone wins two matches.
Trinity of what? They've been there for the last couple of years, haven't they? Is it 2 years they've been there?
Yeah, reached the final last year. Josh Bellamy, player of the tournament. Yeah. There's a bit of tournament know-how in there.
Just a little bit. They were gone, weren't they? They had so many good players. Whereas, like, Queggs and Whitchurch have been there for years.
Hampton 2, Champions 2015. I think they won the plate the year after. You know, there's a bit of know-how in there. They've got a tough circuit as well, so they're well prepared from a sort of knowing what the level is likely to be like.
Let's go. Hampton. I've got soft touch for Quiggs because they've been there so many years and they're head of rugby. Baker was such a good guy, but I love the Welshies as well. But and obviously Friday's at Trinity. God, it's a tough one. I'm going to go Hampton win it. Hampton Quiggs win it. Whitchurch Trinity.
Oh, it is hard. It is really hard to call.
Yeah. But it could be, literally, it could be the other way around.
I think Quakes are not a bad shout, because Quakes are looking at their fixtures. They've played some good teams. When they've lost, they've been in the game. Yeah. Like, they could surprise a couple of people.
Yeah. There we go. Hampton, Quakes, Whitchurch, Trinity.
Right. Well, there you go. That's the one where you could get some pelters, because it could go anyway, literally anyway. You could easily see that group finishing up in reverse order from what you just said there. It could be.
I think Hampton are probably going to be all right. I think they'll go.
Hampton are the favourites in that group. I agree with you. I think they'll go
through first or second. But yeah, that's a tough one to call, that group.
Yeah. And they've given Epsom a good game. They've given Wellington a good game. Like, they're not a bad side. They could go far. Speaking of groups of death, Group 2.
Yeah. Wow. Doing the research for, like, Kirkham, unbeaten. RGS High Wycombe, unbeaten. Wellington are Wellington. They've lost to Ipswich, Harrow and Millfield, who are all gun sides this year. And Cheltenham have only lost to Blundells and Kingswood, who again are having really good seasons. So, yeah, that's brutal. That's why we love it.
I mean, the only thing that concerns me about that group is it will be so hard to win it coming out of this group because you will have to put so much into it on day one.
Yeah, like that's the thing. But like as sort of one of our messages we were talking about, but winning brings so much momentum.
Yeah.
So you've got the flip side of it. Yeah, you have that, right, wow, that took a lot out of you. But it does take a lot out of you, but it is only, and as people like, it's 15-minute half, so it's not massive games.
Yeah.
But again, people probably that's not been there, opposite, but the intensity of those 15 minutes is so good on. There's no easing into it. It is like the intent, like that's obviously you can't compare, but like that France South Africa intensity that lasted almost the whole game. Like schools can't do that, but at St. Joe's, that ferocity really is.
It's in schoolboy terms, these games are more akin to the France South Africa game than they are to the England Fiji game.
Absolutely, they really are. And it, as I often talk about, for anyone that's anywhere near it, just go and watch it or watch the stream, because the quality on show is exceptional, and the intensity and how much it means to those boys. It's unreal. But on that, like, and again, if you win your first two games, the third game becomes a little bit easier. If you're two from, you can get a few boys on, you can rest a few. But again, it's how you do it, like, because it's tactical. We were a few times in this position where we'd 1-2, the team we were playing against had 1-2. And then you're sort of looking at who's in the other group, because you're obviously we're going to play. But we were always of the mind, let's win. Let's win 3-3 and not worry about who wins in the other group. Let's keep
them. Well, you go unbeaten in today too, and everyone else is worried about you because they go, oh, geez, they won 3-3, fair enough. I'll tell you what, they're looking at this group, particularly Kirkham and RGS High Wycombe, there is going to be a physicality to this group that is going to be hard to live with at times. Wellington will have a deep squad because they always have just resources, basically, in terms of player numbers. They'll probably be able to handle that physicality with that rotation of their players, but it is going to be hard. Like, they are Kirkham, we know they're a very good team, play a physical game of rugby. RGS High Wycombe, best season in a long time so far. Whether they're playing well or badly, they always bring that sort of physical and determined edge. I don't know if it's just part of the school psyche or something, but they just always, no matter what level of team they are, there's a level of pride when they play that is just so hard for other teams to live with. And then Cheltenham are probably going to be looking at that and going, we've got to be right on our game. And have shown at times this season that they can be right on their game, and are probably going to be thinking, well, if we nick one, suddenly we're in this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can nick one. Yeah, I think, as you said, RGS High Wycombe, sort of massive traditional rugby school. Dipped for a few years. I think they sort of lost their way a bit. But have most definitely got it back. Through the school, they've got that pride back into rugby, and rugby matters. And like, if rugby doesn't matter, no matter what program you've got, it's tough. So obviously rugby matters within the school. I think that they, as you said, they're always physical. They've always got good athletes. And they've also got a lot of skillful players that, like, it's quite a big rugby area around where they are. Quite a few big sort of local rugby clubs with good youth sections. So you've always got some good players there. So yeah, I think next year they'd be better.
Yeah.
They're lower sixth heavy, I think, I believe. Or I know their lower sixth are really good, so I don't know about them. So I think next year they could be better. So I think Wellington are just bleeding Wellington. Like, they're always going to be good. Like, you look at the games they've lost, it's Harrow, Ipswich and Millfield. They're all, and again,
and they're in the game.
And when did they score their tries? Like, so I have to admit, and I never sort of, I can't know everything, but like, don't know much about the Northern scene. I really don't. But Kirkham have a tough fixture list and they're unbeaten.
Yeah.
And again, they always seem to have a good side. So I'm going Wellington, Kirkham, RGS third, but I think next year they will make it through to day two as in one or two. I think that they're just that lower sixth. I think, I might be wrong, I think maybe it'd be a really good learning curve for them. And next year, I think they'll be up there challenging for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think Cheltenham have just drawn a bit of a bum deal and are in a crazy tough pool.
Well, if Cheltenham were in that pool we were talking about before, pool one,
you could
make a good argument for them getting through to the quarterfinals.
And again, we're going to caveat all this because we like with anything can happen, but I am sort of putting my neck out of it. So I'm going to go Wellington, Kirkham, RGS, Cheltenham.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Is this Cheltenham's first time there, or is it?
Second time, but they were there in 2021. And they finished 11th, I think. They didn't go last year, but they're back again this year. So they've got...
A bit
of experience. Probably more crucially, Ollie Morgan is the head of rugby there, who obviously has plenty of experience being there with Millfield as a player. So they know what it's all about, regardless of maybe the on-field experience, because the guys in the coaching kit know what they're doing. So it'll be, I mean, it's just such a hard pool to pick apart. You know, you get a slow start, you drop a game. Anything can happen. You know, you look at particularly a game like Wellington against Kirkham, someone could score a try early in that, and that's the only points they're scored in the game. It's that sort of a pool. It's going to be brutal, but it'll be great fun. There'll be unmissable games every single time in that one.
Yeah, I think that's the... that is the pool of death.
100%. I mean, to be honest, from that pool, you'd expect to see the bowl contenders coming out of it.
You can see them all finishing sort of like first and then whatever the next, like winning. So like sometimes you're going to sevens tournaments and a team wins like the cup, the plate, the spoon or whatever. Yeah. Like,
and they all come out the same group. You could easily see that in that group.
They could all go deep in wherever they end up. Yeah.
They certainly could. And then the final one in terms of us going through it, Blundell's, Brighton College, Denston College, Strathallan in group three. Again, I think Brighton College are the standout team in that. But then beyond that, I think that's wide open.
I think Brighton are probably in the top three favourites of the whole tournament. I think looking at their record, they're unbeaten again with a tough Dulwich, Tunbridge, Trinity, a couple of other tough scores they play, and it's not just the way they're winning by pretty decent scores. So I think that they are, I think whoever and if anyone beats them, they're, you're probably looking at the winners of the whole thing. I think they go in, they've got massive knowledge of the tournament, they care about it massively, like they give out their sort of honours and whatever when they go up there. I think they get the stripy socks and they give them out. They've got good routine, good tradition. Boise knows how to go up there, how to do it. They're very strong side. They play a brand of rugby that suits it as well. They can hurt you from anywhere.
They score points, don't they? They're
a tough. They're probably the team that you don't go right. Just play field position. I think against them, you're playing right. We've got to keep the ball because if we give it to them, it's hard to just defend against them. But then on the flip side of that, their breakdown work is just always, or they've always seemed to have a mongrel in the centre and in the back row that there's a tackle, they're on you and making the referee make a decision, which you don't really
want. I think twice in recent years they've had back row players that have won player of the tournament, which kind of tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. I mean, they also had Marcus Smith be player of the tournament once upon a time, but that's a slightly different story.
So I think that you are looking at them as winning that pool. And as you said, again, the Strathnathan, they're unbeaten on the Scottish scene. But again, which is what does that mean? For me, who knows? It could be but it means that they're used to winning. They've got a good side and they're going to come down fairly confident. Blundells have only lost to Kingswood and Millfield, and we know are both having stellar seasons.
Yeah. So, and on the Millfield one, they were 20-0 up at half time against Millfield, lost it 26-20. Again, as we say at St. Joe's, that last 40 minutes isn't that relevant because you're not getting to play that for the last 40.
Yeah. And obviously they've got Yappy, the rugby I know really well, his son's playing a 10 and looking at some of his highlight reels and tries his scoring this year. He's the sort of player that could maybe hurt you from deep or make a break from anywhere, which having that at this festival, you need people that can score tries from nothing.
Yeah.
So, and again, Denston, always have Leicester Academy boys, have been there for a good few years, know what it's about.
Finished third last year.
They've lost to Sebra, they lost to Ipswich. But again, two amazing, but lost to Berkhamsted doesn't look great. So I'm going to go Brighton winning it.
Yeah.
I'm going with Blundells, bit of bringing my sort of romance to it, knowing Yappy. And then I'm just going to, just because I don't really know enough about them, they're new to the tournament as well. So I'm going Denston third, Strathallan fourth and a bit, but again, it's like Merchiston used to come down Mercer play at eight, and it was like, wow, I was trying to tap him up for like the Samurai Bulldogs straight away. It was like, I'm signed for Bath.
I remember that tournament, it was just like everyone on the touchlines was going, have you seen that Merchiston lad? And suddenly, like, their games became must see because everyone just wanted to watch that Mercer. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then one year they had a 9 and 10 that were beautiful to play, to watch as well. So Strathallan might be like that. They may have a couple of gun players. But yeah, Brighton, Blundells, Denston, Strathallan.
So you see, Strathallan, I've got, I think you're probably right, but they interest me because, so George Watson's have been setting the pace in Scotland this year, and Strathallan drew with them, and they're the only side to have stopped them, and they've been winning like 40, 50 points. So they're definitely up there in Scotland. But the reason they interest me really is that Merkiston won the Merkiston Festival. Not the strongest field in the world, but the likes of Seaford College, the likes of Mount St Mary's, like decent English sides, and Merkiston came out on top. And if Strathallan are on their level, which I think they are, could be competitive. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Just on the flip side of that, I suppose Merchiston have got the St. Joe's factor at their own festival.
Yeah, exactly. That always helps, doesn't it?
They're going to be decent. You don't enter this competition if you're not decent now, because it's pointless. So,
I mean, that is the thing, is that all 16 sides here can play a bit. Like, yeah, there are certain standout sides, but everyone is going to be hard to beat because that is just the nature of A, the format, but B, just the quality of teams that enter.
Yeah, but yeah, Brighton, Blundell, Denston, Strathallan for me is 1, 2, 3, 4. But as I said, anything can happen. Like a bit of a referee's decision, bounce the ball, one missed tackle. It's a bit like sevens in sort of the jeopardy that can happen, which you don't often get in 15. That's again the beauty of it. It's sort of a bit of a sevens format. It's like you get up, especially if you can get up two scores, it's like, right, that's pretty much game done. So it makes
it interesting. So right, we've got who we think is going through to the quarterfinals. Obviously, for anyone that's newish to the tournament, previous years it used to be day one groups, then you go into day two groups, and then the winners of the day two groups meet in the final or in the plate final for the plate groups. Nowadays, top two go into quarterfinals for the trophy, bottom two go through to quarterfinals for the bowl, and then losing semi-finalists go to a plate and to a shield, and then there's third place playoffs and everything as well. But if we just look at that trophy competition, the De La Salle trophy, so we've got our eight teams that we think are going through. Quiggs. What was it? Hampton. Was it Hampton Quiggs?
Quiggs.
Kirkham Wellington. Brighton. Blundells. Millfield. Dulwich. So.
Fancy St. Joe's.
Yeah, exactly. St. Joe's are definitely winning it now. Who do you think are the runners and riders to be there? Well, to be there in the final, but you know, in with a chance of
I think there's four. I think that Millfield, Brighton, Wellington, and Kirkham.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think
if you look at, say you look at pool one, say let's just for instance, pool one plays pool two, team two, pool two. I think Wellington and Kirkham are beating Hampton and Quiggs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think Brighton are beating Dulwich. And I think Millfield are beating Blundells.
Yeah. I mean, I think what, the more I look at it, the more I think, because it's now a knockout format, we used to get those sort of epic pool games with the kind of de facto semi-finals sometimes, and you know, they'd be unbelievable games. But actually just looking at the way that the draw lines up here, you're probably in for two unbelievable, genuine semi-finals, because it's just, there is just that tier of teams that just look unbelievable, which probably means the final, everyone's going to be absolutely shattered. But
maybe not as much now, because, like as you said, it's only now three games on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Before. So before, as you said, you'd go into a pool, and again, you could lose a game on that Sunday.
Yeah.
Like I think twice we're involved in games where we lost to St. Joe's, but then St. Joe's lost to Fisher, and then we beat Fisher, and we was almost, and then it goes on like points difference or something like that. So the games again, whereas if you lose your first game here now on a Sunday, that's it, you're out.
Yeah.
Again, like brutal.
Yeah, brutal.
But it does mean that, say you win your semi, you only play two games, and anyone can get up for a final when you've only had two games that day. So I think that the quality is probably going to be maybe a little bit higher, because they're not as knackered as we were in the old format. But yeah, there could be like the semis, right? Like a Wellington, Brighton, and a Kirkham, Millfield, two semis. Like that's like that, isn't it?
Be like watching last weekend's World Cup games. That one.
Yeah. Like that's outstanding.
Unbelievable.
That's proper games there. So yeah, like one, I, like you said, is rainy forecast, is it?
Wet all weekend, which probably suits those Pool B teams more than anyone else.
Okay, it's a shame. Like, to be fair, it's one of those weekends as well that doesn't often get too bad weather.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, it's windy as well, so maybe it'll blow through. But
I remember a gazebo flying across pitch one at one year. something badly. Obviously, it was us.
we had experience of a similar thing with our own gazebo at Rosslyn Park last year. Caused absolute carnage. It was a disaster.
Yeah, our gazebo went straight across pitch one in the middle of a game. So it's the weather does come into it in terms of how teams want to play.
Probably suits sides like Kirkham, like RGS High Wycombe, Denston traditionally, probably Quiggs as well to an extent. Like there's certain teams that just play that way.
Yeah, and again, like your teams that want to chuck it around, your Brightons, your Millfields, it might not suit them as much, but I think we're looking at teams now that if you've got a team and you're at the top end, you've generally got an all-court game.
Yeah. Well, also, as you say, field position is so important anyway. Yeah. That it just becomes an even more important factor in a wet weather weekend where you just go, all right, get out of this corner we've put you in.
And we don't often talk about it, schoolboy rugby, but it's kind of, and a goal kicker.
Yeah.
In this format. You've got a goal kicker, or even, or a, Like, I think when RGS Newcastle won it, they had a superb 10 that was just putting them in the right places, was banging everything over.
They had a really simple format and it worked brilliantly. They had an awesome front row and they had a 10 who could kick his goals and he could put the ball in the right place. And they literally just went, we will win penalties at scrums. We will have a nice driving ball and we'll have a 10 who just gets us where we need to go. And it worked absolutely perfectly.
And you know what? Brilliant. Yeah. They won the cup, which is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And their name forever on the De La Salle, which is awesome. So again, that might come into it. I think with this new, like you got the kickoff now, haven't you? Because obviously that's relatively new. And I know it's great viewing it, but I just think for schoolboy level, I think it's brutal on an individual kid.
I think actually they might have binned it for this year for that reason. Because they want it.
I think people think that like teachers, we don't give a shit about anything. It's just like win.
Yeah.
Teachers care. And they're like, it almost goes against everything that you're trying to do. It's like basically one kid is then responsible for you losing the whole tournament.
Which is, I think it was one of those where I think it was worth trying for a year because it was with the new format and it being knockout. They were aware that there could be a scope for a lot of draws and no way to decide between it. I think they've moved, I do need to double check this, but I think what they've moved to is it's actually the opposite of the RFU suggestion, which is last scorer goes through if it's a draw, which I way prefer to first scorer. There's no, scoring last, I always think, is an achievement. You've come from behind and you've saved the game. Whereas scoring first is kind of like, well, it's just how the game goes sometimes. There's no great achievement in it.
Are I presume they're doing like tries scored to start with.
So pools will be as were.
Tries scored.
And then it's just for the knockouts where you've got because each game is a one-off.
It's one of those things that you have to have something, and first or last, it doesn't really matter. But you don't want to kick off and coming down to that, because that's tough on an individual.
It's really tough when they're all in front of the post. I think it's less hard when they're hard kicks, because then it's exactly. You could have missed it. Like anyone can miss it. When it's bang in front of the post, it's like, even your tight head should be getting that.
Yeah. But it's incredible for a short format and such close teams, you get remarkably few draws. I don't think we ever had a draw.
It's very, very rare.
Which is bizarre, because you would have thought you'd actually get quite a lot of them. I don't think we drew in 7 years of playing there, 8 games over the weekend. Which is rare. So, and again, it just shows the mindset of teams that go out to try and win, which is great.
It's unbelievable. And it is surprising that there are not more draws. It just goes to show, I suppose. It tends to be, if you get one, the confidence rises.
Yes.
Confidence in the other side dips.
Momentum, the kids.
Makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Another thing that we haven't talked about again, which no one knows, and the schools that go regularly, like Brighton, it's into their DNA, and Millfield is in theirs, and it always used to be Dulwich, but I know the way the school going and academics, it might come in this year, is Tunbridge stopped going because they used to have, there was a physics trip and there was a language trip at the same time. Mm. Their kids used to go on those. So they were like, what's the point of coming with, we're Tunbridge, we're good at rugby, and we come up here and we're pretty useless.
Yeah.
So you don't know if a school's missing, if they're missing two or three to an academic trip or family holidays that's been booked because the parents didn't realise, things like that. So again, that just throws a little bit of actually a school that you think are going to be good playing against the team that, so it sometimes throws up a couple of results.
There's always those behind the scenes bits, isn't there, that you just don't quite know.
Yeah.
I always think the bit that's so amazing about this competition is that when you view it as a whole and you look back all the way through it, it always has a way of, generally speaking, the best sides in an era succeed here. You go way back to start, Bradford Grammar School dominated the 80s and 90s, as they did everywhere. Colston's then dominate through the mid-90s, early 1000s. Then Filton start winning titles because the ace colleges begin and suddenly they're winning stuff. Then Dulwich get their title that kicks off sort of the next 3 years of Schools Cup stuff. You then get this period where everyone's winning it because suddenly there was a, by and large, coaching in school rugby suddenly became pretty uniform and everyone was doing very similar things. And so you got a lot of teams that could just on any given day beat another one and all the rest of it. And then just the last couple of years, you've seen Millfield start to really cement themselves at the top, because if everyone is playing with a similar pattern, suddenly it reverts back to how it was. And if you have the depth and you have the quality, you start to dominate. So it's sort of, you do get this sort of thread that looks like it. And probably when we look back in 5 years at this last 2-3 year period, we'll get something similar out of that. So it'd be interesting to see who comes out on top. If Millfield do three in a row, that's unbelievable, because two in a row is one good team. Three in a row is two good teams.
Yeah. And I know we count the draw as a semi, but have Brighton actually got their name on that cup yet?
2017, yeah. 2017.
Oh, was that Smith?
Yeah.
That Mark
Smith? No, it was the year, I think it was the year after Smith. So I think Smith lost 2016 final, well, drew it, but lost it. And I think the year after him, I think it was Johnny Searle and all those lads.
Oh, right. They've won it. They've won it. Cause it, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's good to have like everything. You want different names on the cup. So they're on it. Like, if you're looking at that, so Kirk.
Wellington would be fresh.
Wellington are obviously on it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Kirk and Wynn. Get a new name on there.
Could well be. They've got a chance. There's a few of them that have got a chance, but Kirk and could well be up there. It's going to be a pretty special weekend, that's for sure. Yeah. It always is.
Yeah, I think those four, Millfield, Bright and Wellington, Kirkham, I think they're the four. I think the Wingham is coming from them. Only good, but as you know.
There's 12 other teams now going, right, we're going to prove them wrong, those idiots.
Good. I'd love it if they did. That would be fantastic. I'm always for the underdogs.
100%. 100%. Right. And I'll tell you what, there are the teams that I think could spring a surprise, RGS High Wycombe, St. Joe's the hosts. I think Blundell's could catch a few off guard. Yeah. I also think it's not worth writing off Hampton. I don't think they'll go all the way, but I think they will surprise a few teams with what they can do.
Yeah, and I think a bit that is a bit like sort of the World Cup this year. I think you were looking at, I think everyone for a long time way back was saying, right, the winner's going to come from France, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa. But there are another 4, 5, 6 teams that could probably beat anyone on their day.
Yeah.
But probably don't have enough to go and win the whole thing. And I think St. Joe's is very much like that. So, as you said, you've got teams there that could pull a surprise off and knock a big head out. But
well, that's the thing.
They have enough to go and do the whole thing? And wouldn't it be wonderful if they could? Because as you can tell, the way I talk is the best weekend.
It's unbelievable. It is. Yeah.
Bit gutted I'm not up there actually. It's as close as any other year's been.
Oh yeah, it's wide open. And it feels, I know the weather's going to close in a bit, but it just feels like one where we might see some very special rugby, because there's some good teams in there, but there's a lot of teams in there that have the potential to do some special bits every now and then. It could be pretty spectacular. It's all going to be live here on Next Gen 15, Saturday and Sunday, both pitches, every single game. It's a later start than usual, which I'm very happy about. 9:30 we kick off on Saturday, so we all get a sniff of a lion which is nice. And then it's into 2 days of unbelievably intense action. Kickoffs every half an hour. It's going to be frantic, but it's going to be fun. And you can catch it all live here. Sam, thanks for joining me for this preview. It's been, it's got me excited. Let's put it that way. I'm pretty sure it's going to get the viewers excited as well.
Yeah, it now makes me really quite annoyed that I'm not going to be there. But I will be watching. I will be watching it on the stream and cheering for a few of my favourite teams and mates' teams and past teams, and hoping for some great rugby, which I'm sure we will get. I'm sure it'll be brilliant.
It certainly will be. Sam Howard, thanks very much for joining us. You can tune in to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, all sorts. YouTube will have this one up later as well. And you can get in touch on at NextGen15 at NextGenXV. Sam, thanks so much. That was insightful, entertaining, and pretty mouthwatering in terms of build up to the weekend.
Everybody, have a great weekend, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.